shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a wall, but we came to fight. Somebody's gotta
stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host, and we're sponsored by North State Consultants, the best tax preparation in the business. Our number there is 530-221-0101, and consultations are by appointment only. We also want to let everybody know out there, we need some sponsors and some advertisers to keep this show on the air. If you'd like to get a hold of us, please again call 530-221-0101 if you'd like to help. We need to get some help out here because if we don't, we're going to have to probably shut the show down at some point. So
no, Mark.
Yeah, I know. We don't want to.
It's very intense, but I love it.
We don't want to, but we got to get some help out there because we can't continue to prop it up with our own money is what it comes down to. So anyway, we would just want to let everybody know, please get a hold of us if you want to, you know, help out here. Send us some money for some sponsorship. And or advertising. Get your name or your business on the air so that we can keep the show on the air and give you some advertisement. So I'm here in the studio with Ruth Angel, who's substituting for my sister Linda, who's out of town and hopefully listening.
I didn't know that I can live up to Linda, but I'll give it a good go.
You're a lot taller than she is.
I am, and I'm sitting taller than you are.
I know. I feel like I'm staring up at you.
I know.
Anyway, and then we also have Rachel here with us, our good trusted soundboard operator and all-around great gal.
Good morning. I'm in the chat pack, too, if you'd like to join us at KCNR1460.com.
Very
and
good.
And you have your own show on Sundays at 4 o'clock.
I do.
Very
and
good.
On tomorrow, Elle Woods from Legally Blonde will be on with me tomorrow.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
Some other surprises, so join us at 4 for the kitchen sink. Thanks,
wow.
Ruth.
All right, very good. You guys are better at that than I am. I'm always so consumed
yeah,
with what I'm doing.
You have to listen to her show. It's pretty good, actually.
I did actually listen to it last week, and I'll try to listen to the this week again at the archives because 4 o'clock on Sunday is really tough for me because, it's just a...
You're busy. I know.
It's just a tough one. So.
But thanks, guys.
It'll be interesting to see what Legally Blonde means.
She's a... It's the little movie, and Shasta Call is doing a musical. It's really cute. And Chelsea Bailey is starring. It's going to be a good show.
Very good.
Go tonight.
Okay, our phone number here is 530-605-4567, or you can go to the chat room at kcnr1460.com. I can be reached email-wise at kentmark99@yahoo.com. That's K-E-N-T-M-A-R-K 99@yahoo.com if you want to email me and ask questions or whatever. So we also have the Tea Party meetings Monday night, 6 p.m. at 2570 South Bonneview. Destiny Fellowship, and I'm not sure what's going on with the Tea Party events. I usually depend on Linda to give me all that information.
Or maybe Elizabeth will call in. But you know what? The bottom line is that you don't have to be a Tea Party member to attend those events.
Absolutely.
Which is extraordinary because they cover a lot of great topics.
Yeah, we're going into the election season, so there's going to be a lot of great upcoming debates and so forth prior to November 2nd, I think it is this time.
I'm not sure what election day is. I just wait around for that Tuesday.
Yeah.
Can't wait for it to be over, actually.
There you go.
I think it's the 6th.
Is it the 6th? This is going to be such a weird year anyway. The mudslinging has just begun. And I don't have any veterans events because I usually let my sister. Do you got something over there, Rachel?
Oh, there's a... No, I forgot. It was on earlier. There was something that's going on. It's a golf tournament on September 8th for Stand Down.
Oh, okay.
So search that on Google.
Okay, there you go.
or look at Reading.com. I'm sure we'll...
What is that?
Find it. Noodle?
Noodle.
Oh, November 6th is election day.
November 6th.
Noodle. Maybe I should go home.
Noodle. I guess that's November 6th translated. Anyway, I got a couple of quotes here, and then we want to talk about several things. I want to talk about some things in the election, and then I want to go into some banking issues and so forth. The first quotes that I have here, though, are, number one, the refusal of King George III to allow the colonies to operate an honest money system which freed the ordinary man from the clutches of the money manipulators was probably the prime cause of the revolution, Ben Franklin. Then number two, the eyes of our citizens are not sufficiently open to the true cause of our distress. They ascribe them to everything but the true causes of the true cause, the banking system. That's Thomas Jefferson. And then third, all the perplexities and confusion and distress in America arise not from the defects in our Constitution, not from want of honor or virtue, so much as from the downright ignorance of the nature of coin, credit, and circulation, President John Adams. Now, there's a theme there, and if you get that theme, what it is that if you go back to the Revolution, they're saying the prime cause of the whole thing was the money manipulators, the banking industry. Coin, credit, and circulation is banking. And that's not what we were, you know, basically spoon-fed in some of the history classes. We need to understand banking because my theory or theme today is that that is exactly the problems that we're having today. This is all related to banking. We talk about the Republicans, the Democrats, the budgets, all this stuff. If you don't understand the underlying cause of all this distress, which is the banking system, we got off the gold standard, we got away from the Constitution that was only supposed to coin money and regulate the value thereof, and they handed this over in 1913 to a private bank that now issues currency, counterfeits currency, basically, and through the fractional reserve banking system, they are counterfeiting so much money that they pretty much own the country. So, that's the theme of today's show. And I'm not sure if we have to go to a break yet. We got plenty of time. Good. But before we get into that topic, I would like to start with the update on the election stuff.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
I know. I can't help myself. A couple of things. Excuse me. This comes from Policy Mike. All right. And policymike.com. And the title of this article is Ron Paul will have 500 delegates at the RNC convention. 10 reasons why he should speak at the convention. Now, this is not a Ron, I'm not doing the Ron Paul rant today. This is not about whether he's going to win or not. Oh, no, no, no. What this is about is media complicity and lack of news reporting. Because don't you think that, I mean, we've been hearing that Romney is the nominee for how long? But I noticed in the last couple of weeks he changed from being the nominee to the presumptive nominee in the media because how are they going to explain that all of a sudden at the convention that Ron Paul's got 500 delegates and it's not a lock anymore, and now you have an open convention where the delegates are not bound by anybody according to Rule 38 of the Republican Committee's own rules. So it's just an interesting scenario here, and I'll read a little bit of this. With the Republican National Committee finally conceding the fact that Ron Paul's name will indeed be on the ballot at the GOP convention in Tampa this August, really. So they're finally going to concede that. You guys don't find that a little funny out there that this has been happening all along, and now they're going to concede it the closer we get to Tampa? That's what's interesting to me, you know, and of course I'm a Ron Paul fan because I think he's the only candidate that really stands for liberty, freedom, the Constitution. You know, they all say they are, but then they do the exact opposite. They don't get rid of the private bank. They keep raising the debt, whether it's Republican or Democrat. So the point being is that how complicit is the media when they don't report on stories like this?
Well, I'll give you my two cents because I've been talking a lot about it this last week, actually, and my sense is that in May, Ron Paul actually sort of conceded by saying, I'm not putting any more money into it. The last time I heard him was in Texas. He basically was talking his talking points and not really talking about being the candidate. And I really feel like it's the his supporters that are trying to carry the whole issue regarding the media, regarding his not being the presidential candidate.
Well, that's kind of a classic example. What he said was he was not going to concentrate on the advertising and spending all the money for the campaign. He was going to concentrate on the delegates.
Well, I totally understand what you're saying, but basically, I am voting for and we've had this discussion, sure. anybody but Obama.
Sure.
And I feel like, you know, give it your last shot, do it, you know, go to the convention or watch the convention and maybe have your hopes set for him becoming the on the ballot so that you can vote for him and vote your conscience. But my thought is that there's a lot of Paul supporters. I get emails and I see Facebook
sure.
that actually disparage other candidates. They're just as divisive as the Romney or the Obama side. So
I'm not sure that I agree with that. I don't think the truth is divisive. In other words, I guess maybe it can be divisive, but if it's a truth, shouldn't that be out there?
Yeah, but there's a lot of things coming out about Romney, and I don't believe that he is the same as Obama. I believe there are some parallels there, but I believe he has the same agenda.
I believe a lot of their policies are the same, and that's my point on the big issues is their policies are the same. And I'm not saying they're the same, but what I'd like to see is I'd like to see some truthful reporting by the media. And that's really the theme of the show here is, so we got to go to a break here. We'll be right back. This is KCNR 1460, and we'll continue on our quest for the truth.
People Radio every Sunday morning with Elizabeth Woodward and Aaron Ryan, where we talk about all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
Let's roll, America. There's a job to be done.
This two-hour program offers you the opportunity to learn about issues the mainstream media only delivers in sound bites. Go to our website, wethepeopleradio.us, learn about people that are coming on the show, and if you'd like to hear them in person, find a Tea Party meeting near you. You can find that link at wethepeopleradio.us as well.
Wake up, America. You're too young to die.
This Sunday, in the first hour, we welcome Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson, the president and founder of BOND, the group dedicated to a conservative agenda among African Americans. In the second hour, Soviet immigrant Arkady Fakhtarovich returns to share his views on America's Federal Reserve. We the People, Sunday mornings, 8 to 10 on AM 1460, KCNR.
If your child plans to play school sports, they're going to need a sports physical. Make it easy. Bring them to Pulse Urgent Care's newly expanded facility. Pulse Urgent Care offers sports physicals for just $25. You're in and out quickly, and Pulse Urgent Care is open 7 days a week for your convenience from 10 a.m. until 8 p.m. To schedule your child's sports physical, call 722-1111. Or just walk into Pulse Urgent Care on Hilltop Drive next to Ross and Kmart. Pulse Urgent Care says if it's urgent to you, it's important to us.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to 1 to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to 1 on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Get older, losing my hair many years from now. Will he still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
We're back, Sovereign Mind Radio. I can see the chat room's already got the argument going. You know, I'm not trying to get this argument going or keep this Ron Paul thing going. What I'm trying to do is that what needs to get out.
Share your understanding of what the issue really is.
The issue for me is, number one, we are not attacking the real issue across the board. If you look at, let's take Paul Ryan, for example. You know, I've seen a thing this morning branded ultra conservative. Well, if you look at his budget, it's not ultra conservative. I mean, Paul talks about cutting $1 trillion immediately right off the budget, which, by the way, is if we don't...
A start.
That's a start. And if we don't do that, we're going to collapse.
Right.
It's that simple. And so...
It's really not about his budget. It's about Romney's budget.
Well, that's the problem, is that they're talking about a steady decrease in spending, but it's still an increase in spending as we go along. It doesn't change anything. And if you look at the numbers, we're on an unsustainable path where we're going to collapse here pretty soon. I mean, $16 trillion, they're going to raise the debt again if they keep doing that. The interest is actually, and the mandatory spending right now is more, they're collecting less tax than the mandatory, what they call mandatory spending, the Social Security pensions and so forth, and the interest on the debt. And the non-mandatory spending, which is the government itself, the military, all the offices of the different branches of government, they're borrowing every single dime to pay for the actual government right now.
Well, Phil Smith in our chat room here has a very good point. It's not really about them. It's about Congress.
Well, it's about all of them. It's about all of them and the complicity of the media to cover this stuff up. That's my big thing here, because they have been directing traffic from day one on this election. And that's the problem. If Ron Paul had lost this thing legitimately from the perspective of the media, you wouldn't see nearly as much pushback, because then it's legitimate. Like the last one, there wasn't as much pushback. But this one, he's pulled in so much support that the media has blacked out. He has pulled in so many, there's been so many events that haven't been covered. There's so many things that haven't been covered. And why is that? Because he's the only one that's talking about the Federal Reserve and the underlying problem, in my opinion.
Well, you're right. And I think that's what endears himself to a lot of people like me. I'm a Republican.
Right.
I actually like what he says. There are a lot of his talking points I totally agree with. And I don't think I found one that I don't agree with.
Right.
Maybe a little bit of his stance on where we are as far as on the foreign side, I don't agree with, but...
See, that's another good example of the media twisting and turning his stance.
Right.
We don't even know what his stance is, because at the debates, what they did was they cut him off. They asked him, the gotcha questions. They didn't let him speak. They gave him no time to explain his position. And some of the positions are complicated. If you look at his positions, then you understand that it's not what the media is saying. And that's the whole point of this thing, is that if the media can twist and turn any election based on the amount of coverage that they give a candidate, then we don't have a fair election anymore.
Yeah, but we're really beyond that at this point. I think most people have and I'll just say this from my perspective, have an uncomfortable feeling about Ron Paul being president. And I mean, you really can't put your finger on it. And you just say, I'm at the point where I don't care who it is, I'm voting for anybody but Obama.
Well, if,
but when you talk about the Federal Reserve, I think everybody is lockstep. I think one of the things that he should be very commended for is getting the kids involved,
right,
and really seeing the younger kids at Chico, at a lot of these rallies where they're supporting Ron Paul. And I love the fact that they are becoming more aware of what is going on with the Federal Reserve, because you're totally right about the fact that we have to have change.
Right.
And if Paul is not the guy, and I don't believe that he's going to be the guy.
You could be right.
We have to be behind the guy that it's going to be or might be.
Well, my point is that if the guy is being backed by the same guys, then we've got a real problem. And that's what nobody wants to face. That's the point of what I'm saying here, is that if this guy has the same policies on the big issues of the banking, the credit, the budget, and the Federal Reserve as the other guy, and that's the root cause of all the evil, then really, are we getting a better deal?
Yeah, but the bottom line is that where do we start the change?
Do we all
get behind Paul and let Obama continue?
I agree with that. We got to get Obama out of there.
Right.
And if I got to choose the lesser of two evils, I got to choose Romney. But at the same time, if we don't change the bigger picture of Phil asked, which media are you talking about? I'm talking about them all. I'm talking about every single one of them. If you look at CNN, MSNBC, Fox, it doesn't matter. Do they ever talk about the Federal Reserve in any detail? And the ones that did, no longer on the air. That's for Judge Napolitano, for example. See, that's the problem. And what people don't understand is that if you have a monopoly on counterfeiting money, would you own things?
Absolutely.
You'd own everything, because if you were the only one that could counterfeit the money.
And I think people get that the government is printing money. And we're on borrowed time.
It's not just that the government is printing money. The government, it's not our money anymore. They're Federal Reserve notes. It's a private bank creating the money. See, what they've done is...
This illusion.
Well, it's not just that. It used to be that money was gold and silver. Why? Because it couldn't be counterfeited, and the notes that were printed represented the gold and silver. Okay, you couldn't print any more notes than there were gold and silver. That held us to a standard and a solid money foundation. Now what they've done is they've completely taken the gold standard away, and now money is debt. In other words, what the Federal Reserve does is they create the money by creating debt. In other words, it's debt is money now, which is exactly the opposite of what it should be. So in other words, if the government goes to them and wants to borrow $1 trillion, they create a debt out of thin air and hand it to the government. And now the government owes them $1 trillion plus interest that can never be paid off, because if there's only that much in existence, then they have to create more debt in order to lend them the money, and the debt gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And what eventually comes out of this is we owe the banks all this. I mean, think about this. We owe $16 trillion to who? And see, that's the problem. It's the banking that's the issue here.
Well, I think the government has pushed the envelope so much that business as usual is debt. And I remember when I was a kid, my parents didn't have credit cards. They went to their family for $20 here, or $100 here, or whatever.
Well, see,
our parents or our family, our close family, were the bankers.
Well, here's the issue. Number one, counterfeiting, according to the, I think it's the 1782 Coinage Act, was punishable by death. Now, that shows, kind of tells you it was a little bit thought of a little bit more heavily.
They just call it something else. It's food stamps. They call it something else.
Well, we're counterfeiting everything. That's why we're going down the tube here, because counterfeiting and creating paper as the illusion of prosperity is a way to absolute chaos and destruction of the wealth producing aspects of our society. And that's what's happening. If you've got right now, 60% of the people are dependent on the federal government, whether it's for their pensions, whether it's for their Social Security,
or
welfare,
food,
you name it. That's the problem in a nutshell. And the only way that can happen is if you are in a debt-based money system that we're borrowing from a group of private individuals that are creating the money out of thin air, lending it to us at interest, and putting us in slavery through debt. See, that's what people aren't getting here. There's lots of ways to have a slave. You can have a guy that's working out in the field for you, and you hit him with the lash, and you tell him what to do all the time. That's physical slavery. Or you can have mental slavery, where you can counterfeit money and keep lending it to them, and they have to pay you back forever because of a debt-based system. That's the fundamental differences in the candidates that I see. The only one that even talks about that is Ron Paul. The other two will not address the bank, and I find that quite disconcerting.
I've actually heard Romney talk about the Federal Reserve.
What does he say, though? Does he say we should get rid of it?
Paul, and I believe that you saw that in some of the debates.
I haven't seen that.
On some of the debates that they had, he talked about. In fact, I was always wondering why Ron Paul didn't go after Romney on a couple of issues.
Well, again, the point here is not, I'm not stressing the candidacies as much as I'm stressing the actual underlying issue. And that's what I want to talk about more and more and more.
So let me ask you something, Mark.
Because that's the debate.
It sounds to me like you think that the media is actually the people behind behind this whole government sway or politics.
No. Who owns the media? That's the first question. See, if you could counterfeit as much money as you wanted worldwide, would you own things like television stations and radio stations? That's the question. And we know that 96% of the media is owned by about a very small group of people, and they all seem to say the same thing across the board. And there's so many examples of it. If you get most of your information off the internet and check your sources, there's so many examples of it. If you start comparing back and forth with the TV, it doesn't matter which channel.
I like to listen actually to the candidates themselves. That's where I make my decision, and that's why I'm an anybody but Obama person.
Well, that's the problem, is they can frame the debates on TV and cut and paste and take away or add to the debate. Like, if you look at the Ron Paul debate on foreign policy, when he starts to explain foreign policy, they cut him off. Boom. Iran, they don't have a nuclear weapon. Why should
I think that's a personality thing. I think that Paul could have done a better job of focusing on the question and really giving an answer that was this concise and
okay, you can't do it when those debates, when they cut you off and they frame the questions. But that's why it's important for him to be able to speak at the convention, because when Ron Paul is given the mic to say what he really means and not be interpreted, cut off, or give you the gotcha questions, everybody starts going, whoa, what's this guy talking about? And that's why he brings in so many of these bigger crowds, is because you actually see what his policies are, not what the media perception wants you to see.
And I don't think he has a limited audience, but let's take a break, yeah, and we'll get back to this conversation.
Absolutely.
KCNR 1460.
Thank you for shopping at Bastiani Arms. It is now 6 o'clock and we are now closed. Please bring your purchases up to the register at this time.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Just kidding.
The good guys at Bastiani Arms will continue to give you the attention and service you've come to expect. Even if you need them after hours, they still treat every customer the old-fashioned way, with respect and first-class customer service. If you're buying a new gun anytime soon, remember Bastiani Arms, your locally owned and operated firearms dealer. New or used, Bastiani Arms is Redding's most knowledgeable firearms dealer on handguns, rifles, shotguns, and off-list AR lower receivers. No fishing poles or camping equipment sold here. No, sir. Bastiani Arms is Redding's exclusive firearms dealer. They appreciate your business and thank you for keeping your dollars here in our community. Bastiani Arms on the corner of Larkspur and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
You've heard me say this quite often. As dealers, we all pay the same for these vehicles. The difference is what we sell them for. There's a reason I keep telling you this. It's because it's true. Because as dealers, we do all pay the same price for these vehicles. So come to Crown Motors and you'll understand why I say the difference is what we sell them for. Come see us or visit us online at crownmotorsreading.com.
Hey, it's Rachel Lane with KCNR 1460 AM, inviting you to join us Sundays at 4 for The Kitchen Sink. It's a show about everything and the kitchen sink. We'll be discussing everything from parenting to science, arts, culture, music, and we'll be highlighting some very important community members right here Sundays at 4 o'clock. Please join us every Sunday, 4 to 5, right here on 1460 AM and KCNR1460.com. It's The Kitchen Sink with me, Rachel Lane, on Free Fire Radio.
Back.
And back. I love the music on the show. That's enough to sponsor you, actually. Let's get all the people that love this music and throw in $20 and you're in.
Listen, I want to get off the Ron Paul, Romney, Obama debate, because what I want to do is keep this focused on the money and the media, and the real issue is that if the media can control, and through the, you know, because who owns them? I believe the bankers own them, the big Wall Street guys, Jamie Dimon, Louis Feingold. If the media is backing the only candidates that they want. In other words, if I hedge my bet by letting the only ones that will do the bidding of the banking industry into the debate and into the election, then I can't lose the election. That's my point here, is that if I'm backing Obama and Romney at the same time, it doesn't matter who wins from my perspective if I'm a banker, because they never address the underlying real root cause, which is the, you know, when we talked about the quotes in the beginning, That's the problem. And until that changes, we will never be free, guys. That's the point. We will never be free until we start seeing through this crap of them, you know, backing both sides of the equation. I mean, you look at the differences. Yeah, one guy wants to support the Army and one guy wants to support entitlements. But why are we never talking about the bank? And there would be no conversation if Paul wasn't even in the mix. Not because of Ron Paul, but because...
Totally agree with that.
Okay. And here's another big issue that people have to realize. The Republican Party now has to have the vote of the Libertarians in order to win.
Agree with that.
Okay. So what they had better start talking about the real issues. That's the point for me. If you're not going to start talking about the banking, about why do we owe $16 trillion to a bunch of private bankers, why do they print the money out of thin air with no backing? And that kind of feathers into the next part of the discussion.
Well, I think the media doesn't allow that conversation to take place. I mean, we're all hoping for the debates just to get off the fact that they got a commercial about somebody having cancer and that's Romney's fault, and a commercial about the beer summit.
So it's up to us as citizens to not be spoon-fed our information through the media and do our homework ourselves, which is to understand finances a little bit, money a little bit. See, because we will never be free if you don't understand banking and understand sound money. And that is what is... And so people are going to have to start turning to other sources of information
like
other
radio?
Than... Well, radio. do a little homework. Learn to read, maybe.
Well, I mean, I know we talk a lot about the state of the economy on our show in the next hour. But what I kind of feel is that people... get their news by some of these little quips, these little 30-minute commercial, and that's how they base their voting. And it blows me away that people don't open up their minds and go in and look and find out what's going on and what really affects
right.
them. The women, and I'm not going to get on a woman rant here, but the women
Why
who
not?
Actually feel the state of their households are really the people that they have to reach out to, because we're the ones struggling week to week to make our payments, to pay our taxes, our insurance, our health insurance has gone up, and those are our priorities.
That
so we're
the,
having to really prioritize our
that
households.
That is a result of debased currency. That's the whole point here. All the distress and confusion and perplexities is because we are having we don't have solid, sound money, and that's the problem here. But going into this, gold is now becoming money again. Isn't that interesting?
So what is happening with silver?
Well, so, I'm telling you, the one game you got to understand here right now is there's going to be volatility in everything, and you need to have patience, because the only place to end up here is going to be metals, because there's no other safe place to be. Mark my words, it's coming. Right now, this comes from KC Research. Big changes ahead. I think we got a caller, but...
Our producer stepped out of the office, so just hang in there.
Yeah,
she'll be right back.
Hang in there. There'll be you'll get the answer here in a second. But big changes ahead. Gold just became money. This comes from KC Research. And what it talks about is the fact is that now the banking, and on June 18th, the Federal Reserve and the FDIC circulated a letter to banks that proposes to harmonize U.S. regulatory capital rules with Basel III. Now, Basel III is an accord that tells a bank how much capital it must hold to safeguard its solvency and overall economic stability. Now, isn't that interesting? All of a sudden, now we need to have capital behind the money that we're printing out of thin air to create solvency. Does this theme sound a little familiar?
Yeah.
Well, in other words, if I can just print money out of thin air, and there's no, and I can counterfeit.
But you can't use that thin air at the grocery store. That's the problem.
Well, the problem is that as the money becomes more and more and more debased, the prices on the groceries go higher and higher and higher, because the dollar becomes worth less and less and less. And that is the problem. And it's a way of taxing people and putting them in servitude to the debt. And what happens is where we're going, you have economic bubbles that pop, which is exactly what we're in now.
Oh, yeah, California all over the place. Boom, boom, boom.
Absolutely. So it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And we'll get to Henry in just a second here. But So the point being here is now that they're now saying gold is now, if the proposal is approved by regulators, and that seems like likely since the adoption of Basel III will be, then this is a momentous change for the gold market. Now banks will be allowed to hold bullion in their vaults and count it among their tier one assets. In other words, their least risky assets. Why do you think all the banks are loading up on gold worldwide? Because they know what's happening here too. They're seeing the writing on the wall. They're seeing the money being, see, it's all fine when everybody's playing the game. It's all great when nobody's waking up and running out of these bad assets, these dollars, these euros, and into solid assets. It all works really good. They just keep raking off the top on their 2 or 3% interest rates on $16 trillion. Then they get to skim off the profits of everybody and steal from everybody through their little counterfeiting.
Well, I did read an article where the elite in Greece were buying gold and homes outside of Greece. So their intent is to get out of Dodge.
Well, now,
after they destroyed their country.
I get a newsletter from a guy called the Sovereign Man, and he went to open up a bank account in Norway. And the first question out of the person who's opening up the account at the banking industry is, says, are you Greek?
Oh.
Really? So that's not collusion where all the banks are going, we don't want any Greeks over here. Why? Because in Greece right now, the government says that if we even think you owe tax money, we just freeze your bank accounts. And we steal all your assets. That's the capital. That's called capital controls, you know, that you hear about. Well, that's on the way, guys. And you better wake up to this fact that they just passed a bill, or I had a court decision last week, or I think it was last week, where now it's not even illegal for the big banks to steal your accounts. Yeah, think about that for a second. They can come in, freeze your accounts in any of the big banks, take them, and it's not even a crime anymore. Think about that.
Maybe that's why they're buying all those bullets.
Yeah, I know. I was going to do that one on the Social Security thing, and I thought, oh, we've got to stay on topic here. But, see, this is an interesting thing. But we got Henry on the line, and I don't want to forget about him.
I didn't forget.
Thank you.
Yeah, good morning, Henry.
Good morning, Henry. How you doing?
Good morning. See, I'd like to make a comment or two. First of all, you're right in many things that you say, but there are some of the things that are controversial, one of which is you use the word counterfeit quite loosely.
No, I don't. Not at all. Counterfeiting is the process where you create money out of thin air.
No. Well, counterfeiting is a reproduction of another denomination.
No, actually, I could counterfeit ones all day long and be the same denomination. You're incorrect.
Well, but the fact remains that much of our debt is not through the Federal Reserve.
I agree.
Our debt is done by bonds.
I agree.
Issued by the United States government and purchased in great part by China.
Absolutely, in other countries. But what's happening right now,
the Reserve has nothing to do with that.
Oh, you're absolutely incorrect.
No,
where's
I'm not incorrect.
Let me explain.
I know what I'm talking about.
I do
I know
too.
How the system works.
Let me tell you how it works, and you can disagree all you want. I've been doing this for 30 years, and let me tell you how it works before you get off and have disinformation out there. The Treasury issues the bonds to be purchased by whoever will buy them at auction.
That's right.
Okay. If China buys them, then China, we owe the debt to China. But they're buying them with dollars. And where are they getting the dollars? They're getting the dollars from us. Okay. So what happens is that when the interest rates are so low that it doesn't benefit China to buy our bonds at all, and there's nobody else to sell them to, the Federal Reserve buys them by creating them the dollars out of thin air. The problem is that after a while, nobody will want our debt because our dollars are being devalued constantly. That's the problem. So even
I agree that the dollar is being devalued.
Well, what's the definition of it being devalued? It's being devalued because there's more.
Buy less than it used to buy.
No, the definition of inflation is printing money. And the reason that the dollars are being devalued is the fact is we're printing more and more and more money out of thin air, which is like watering down the soup. So if I have $10 and I print 10 more, that means that I've cut the value in half of the $10 that was in existence. And if I spend it before the person who has the $10 that's saving it, then I've actually stolen part of their money out of their account without them knowing in the value. So that's how it works, Henry.
I am well familiar with how it works. I studied it for years.
Yeah.
Well,
a degree in that.
I'm interested to hear what you have to say about it, though.
Yeah.
But the fact remains that we're not going to win this argument because I'm not going to convince him, and I know what I'm talking about. I've been there and taught it. So the fact remains also that we are in a position in this country that if Mr. Obama gets in again, regardless of what they say or what they do, this country is going down the tubes.
What if that's the same case with Romney because it's the debt that needs to be fixed?
Let me finish. Just let me finish what I'm saying.
I am letting you finish.
You may support anybody you want to support, but you have to go against Obama. If you don't, this country isn't going to be worth living in the end of the next 4 years.
Well, that we're not talking about that, Henry. We're talking about the money issue.
Talking about this earlier.
No, what I was talking about. No, what I was talking about, Henry, was the fact of the media misreporting and the banking industry behind this whole thing, and not necessarily the candidates and who's right and who's wrong, as much as why isn't the media reporting all of this?
Well, I will tell you this, that I'm not particularly a fan of Romney's, but by the same token, I think that he's the man that's going to get nominated.
Well, that might be true, and I don't disagree with that.
He is dealing with a scumbag, lowlife Chicago politician.
I don't disagree with that either.
If he doesn't get down and dirty and find out who had the sheep behind the barn, he's going to lose.
Well, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question, Henry. If their policies on banking don't change, what have we gained?
The first place, you gain a whole lot.
Really? Well, tell me.
What you've got is the situation here that they've got a complete, I guess the word is, lack of respect for the Constitution. Obama has. If we get anybody in there other than him,
you didn't answer my question, Henry.
It's going to get better.
You didn't answer my question. If their policies on banking and count and the Federal Reserve do not change,
you're dwelling too much on banking.
Well, then that's where we totally disagree, because you don't understand the underlying problem then, because the debt is going to...
your problem.
I think bigger question...
We got to go to a break.
Been going on for years, and believe me, I'm no fan of bankers by a long shot.
You're missing the point. We got to go to a break, Henry. If you want to stay on the line, we'll hold you here, and we'll be right back.
Legally Blonde, the musical, will be performed by the Shasta College Theater Department August 9th to the 25th on the Shasta College stage. Described as a non-stop sugar rush by critics, this Broadway and London hit will delight theater buffs. Elle Woods ventures to Harvard School of Law to win back her boyfriend and discovers that an honest, open spirit always wins the day. Tickets are available at the door or can be purchased in advance at shastacollege.edu/theater.
For the Black Bear Diner, here are founders Bob Papa Bear Manley and Bruce Sugar Bear Dean.
Hey, Papa Bear, are you really going to go up in that thing?
Yep. I thought that piling in a hot air balloon would be a great way to experience that light feeling you get when you eat one of Black Bear Diner's salads. They're so light and crispy and delicious.
Yeah, but they're our salads, Bob. They're huge. Seriously, you can't pilot that thing. Hop out of that basket and let's go get your favorite salad, the cashew chicken Caesar.
But what if I want a taco salad, a Cobb, a chef salad, a Chinese chicken salad, or ooh, the grilled southwestern steak salad? It's the perfect pairing of cool, crisp vegetables and delicious manly steak.
You can have that too, Bob. Just turn that burner off and deflate that thing before you hurt yourself.
Good thing you saved me, Sugar Bear. I'm kind of afraid of heights.
Oh, brother.
Enjoy the lighter side this summer with generous salads and wraps, specially made for you at Black Bear Diner.
Good old-fashioned family food, Black Bear Diner. Black Bear Diner.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
There you go. That was, who was that, Greg Kiln? Yeah, Greg Kiln Band.
So we have to, I just want to put this in perspective, because I think that Henry is actually like a lot of people that really feel that the issue is anybody but Obama.
That's not
and,
the issue.
Well, that's what you say, but you're focused on the bigger issue.
It's really
that
simple.
Is the banking, Federal Reserve.
It's real simple.
But we're talking about not, we're talking about just focus, focusing on who we need to be, and that we cannot go down Obama's road,
What I'm saying is that you're going to go down that road anyway unless you address the banking. Why do you think those three quotes from the founding fathers said that they don't get it, it's the banking, and until you get the banking, you will never get the
because
issues?
Because right now, on November 6th, we have an election that where we have to focus, and I think what Henry is trying to say is that while banking is an issue, and the Federal Reserve, and we have to work with the Congress to get that change and to get their focus on that, on the banking, what he's saying is that we cannot go down Obama's road.
What I'm saying is that it doesn't matter until you address the banking. And that's what everybody's got to understand. This will never change, no matter who you get in there, until you address it. We have to force the debate on the banking, no matter who it is.
Well, let's force the debate, but let's also consider the fact that we need to get rid of Obama.
Oh, that's a given. I'm not saying I'm not for Obama.
Then you and Henry agree.
We totally agree. What we don't agree with is that the biggest issue here is the banking, because if Romney comes in and does exactly on the banking as Obama does, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happens, because you're still in debt servitude. Your economy is still imploding. See, this started under Bush, Clinton, Bush. See, this goes way back, and because we go from Republican to Democrat, and we never address the banking issue.
Don't disagree with that.
Guess what? If until we address the banking issue, it's not going to change.
And I just want to say and echo what Henry said, that Romney is not my choice by any stretch. And I think that the majority of people, as was told in the primaries, that he wasn't a lot of people's pick, but he is the guy, or appears to be the guy that's going to get it.
Okay,
so.
But then is that going to help when the economy collapses under Romney?
But then focus after the election is bottom line. Get it on the agenda. Go after the Congress. The Tea Parties are doing a great job. They're getting elected, and they're going, and they're making that the focus.
That's my point, is that it doesn't matter if Romney does not start addressing the issue.
We'll make him.
Well, that's my point, because that's what this whole debate's about. It's not about Ron Paul. It's not about Romney. It's not about Obama. It's about banking, and we keep getting diverted into, oh, Romney's better than Obama.
No, I don't think people feel that way. I think we just know that it's anybody Obama. We have Dick on line one, I believe.
How you doing,
Good
Dick?
Morning, Dick.
Hey, morning, Mark. I'm Dick W. from the Tea Party.
I know who you are, Dick.
I hope you don't get mad because I'm not going to talk about banking.
I hope you don't get mad if I cut you off.
Hey, I know where you live.
I do, too.
Hey, early in the program, you were talking about veterans events going on, and Linda wasn't there, but there is one today.
Oh, okay, great.
It's a fundraiser. It says it's at the Memorial Hall. It's a Veteran Memorials Hall on 1620 Yuba Street. It starts at 6 o'clock. Its cost is $10. It's a benefit for wounded and returning veterans. It says their entry fees will benefit the Wounded Warrior Project. It's going to be spaghetti, garlic bread, and salad. And they're going to have dessert for sale, which was provided by Marie Callender's.
Awesome.
Anyway, it's 6 o'clock today at the Reading Veterans Memorial Hall, 1620 Yuba Street. That's right next to the main post office. There.
Where can you eat and get dessert? Marie Callender's pie.
Yeah.
For $10. Wow.
Okay, I just want to mention that because you didn't realize that there was something going on.
Yeah,
I'm
sorry.
Yeah, I didn't get the memo to look that stuff up.
We appreciate it, Dick.
Well, I'm reading it out of today's newspaper on the local section.
We appreciate it, Dick.
Don't visit that very often either.
Okay, let's get back to the banking.
All right, thanks, Dick.
All right. Thank you.
All right, okay, now I'm going to throw some gasoline on the fire.
Okay.
Here's the interesting part. Because Ron Paul's ranks has swelled because of the message of liberty and the Constitution and sound money, the Republican Party can't win now without the libertarians and the independents. Now, I'm looking at a thing here that says ballot evidence suggests Ron Paul planning to run as a third party candidate here. Now, I don't know if that's true, but Mitt Romney will not be on the ballot in Washington State if a lawsuit from the Libertarian Party succeeds, citing a legal technicality which disqualifies the Republican Party from being considered a majority or a major party due to its failure to get a Senate candidate on the ballot in 2010, blah, 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 blah. Now, the reason I'm throwing this gasoline on the fire is this might come down to, if you hate Obama so much, you might not have a choice between Romney and Obama. You might have to vote for Ron Paul in order to win and get it away from Obama. Now, that's something that nobody wants to talk about because it's always you're splitting the vote. You vote for Paul. Well, what if a vote for Romney is a vote for Obama?
What about Johnson?
Same, same.
Well, isn't he the leader of the Libertarian Party right now?
Same, same.
Obama.
And my point is that
why would Paul be the candidate?
Well, because he's got the biggest backing.
Oh, wow. Now here we go, and a whole another debate. Because you have Johnson who stood up there.
Maybe. All I'm saying is that if we could get some honest reporting, and we're not going to, then we got to do our homework on this stuff to see what the actual numbers are. And that's my point, too. And again, I don't necessarily hold out hope for Paul here. All I'm saying is that the debate has to start being an honest debate. And if the media is not going to do it, then we need to get rid of them and go to alternative sources.
It's
still quite a waste of November. And the Republican Party had better start getting on, at least involved in the platform of Paul's message of liberty, freedom, and sound money.
By their support of the Tea Party. And I think that is the clear avenue for change. And while the media maybe discredit it, maybe even Obama discredits them, the bottom line is that they're there, they're not going anywhere, and their focus is the Federal Reserve and getting us back on track. And I truly believe that Ron Paul will concede and he will push his own agenda through his son.
I'm going to wait till after the convention before I make any kind of a real strong stance here.
My stance is anybody but Obama. I'm with you, Henry.
I totally agree with that. This guy's a clown. This guy's an absolute clown. I've just been reading the Amateur, and I'm almost through with it. And the guy's a clown. I mean, this guy is a Chicago thug clown who cares nothing about anything but self-promotion and
narcissist.
He's a total narcissist. Yeah. There's no question. But what I don't want to do is exchange one narcissist for another narcissist and not stick to the debate. That's the problem that I'm seeing. I don't want to go through this another 10 years of war where we go, oh, now the Republicans voted them in. Now we got to attack Syria and Iran now. That's the whole point is that if you look at the overall policies between the Republicans and the Democrats for the last 30 years, they haven't changed much.
No, and I appreciate your passion, and I appreciate the fact that you want to keep us focused on
the real issue.
But I think overall, we have to get behind the Republican nominee.
I disagree. I don't think it's a Republican-Democrat thing anymore. I think we need to get behind the person who's going to start talking about liberty, the Constitution, free markets, sound money. That's who we need to get behind to, and that is not the media perception, and that's why we're failing, and we will continue to fail till we stop letting the media dictate the terms of the debate.
You only have a few minutes here, and I know you like to close with a bunch of stuff. So,
anyway, here we go. We'd like to thank our guest, Ruth.
Thanks a lot.
We always have fun with this. And if nothing else, we have a good time with this debate and at least get the information out there. And let's talk about it. And so I think that's the most important thing is that we don't let the media dictate the terms of this debate. We need to start getting enough information so we can start being educated on the subjects of what we're talking about here. Because if we don't understand money and finance, we're going down the same road.
And you are the finance guy.
It's what I do. So I think, what do we got, Hal? 30 seconds? Okay, so I guess I'll end with, if you were born in, an original, don't die a copy. Government is reason. No, it's not. I always say that. It's not. Government is not reason. It is eloquent. It is not eloquence. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant, a fearful master. We need to understand that and quit growing this government through this counterfeiting banking scheme. Anyway, that's all I got. What do you think?
It's a beautiful day out there in Shasta County, and I just am going to get involved in that day. Paint my toes and get my flip-flops on.
This song is for my sister if she's listening. We'll see you next week. KCNR 1460.
Fox News Radio, I'm Rich Johnson.
This is my mom, Betty.
Congressman Paul Ryan in Central Florida.
She's why I'm here. She and her grandkids are why I'm here.
The Republican VP candidate crediting his mother and family and promising residents of the nation's largest retirement community that he and Mitt Romney won't touch their Social Security. He also said the program needs to be reformed for the next generation. The Romney-Ryan plan proposes offering a choice between the current Social Security and a voucher system to buy private insurance. The Obama campaign says Ryan avoided what it calls the politically suicidal details of the Romney-Ryan plan, which it says would mean higher premiums and drug costs for seniors now, and they would be forced to pay out of pocket for preventative care. The copters and planes will be back in the skies around Dallas tonight, spraying insecticide to kill the mosquitoes that bear the West Nile virus. But Fox's Casey Stiegel in Dallas says some wonder if the cure is worse than the disease.